What is up, my girls? This is the Brain is the New Ass podcast, proudly hosted on the How Do You Health Network. Why Brain is the New Ass? Because what's going on in your mind is the hottest thing about you. This podcast is meant to light you up in a way that brings you joy and value. I'm Katie Brigham, co-founder of Violet Fog Potions and the host of this podcast. Here we like to talk a medley on health, love and dating, the highs and lows of mundane life, and all the good hacks. Here we thrive on stories and tips, the perfect combo. If we record a podcast and it's not juicy, truthful, to the point, and of course, unfiltered, it's not airing. Rate us, leave us a review, and join in on the girl talk. Thanks for listening to Brain is the New Ass. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Brain is the New Ass podcast. I'm super excited for today's episode. We have on Blair Horton. She is the author of The Goddess Guide, which is all about understanding your cycle, tracking your cycle, healthy hormones. It is an incredible book. I have read it cover to cover. Today, we're going to be talking about all about periods. We're going to be talking about prepping for a healthy period, ways to know that we're ovulating, why no working out on your period, sex on your period, and a ton of other stuff. And of course, the controversial question, does anyone benefit from birth control? Super happy to have Blair on. You might recognize her from TikTok and Instagram. She is Holistic Rendezvous, all about healthy hormones and getting into your divine feminine. Let's have some girl talk. Blair, I am so happy you're on Brain is the New Ass podcast.
Me too.
Oh my gosh.
Literally feel very honored to be here. Not only because I get to like chat with my best friend, but.
I knew that I wanted to do a podcast on periods, and the first person I thought of was you. And I don't know if you remember this, but this is probably like 6 years ago now. And maybe 5 years ago, I had just met Dan. Okay. And I was like, I'm going to get into this serious relationship. Like, and I was like, I had all these friends that are like, you need to go on birth control. You need to go on birth control. You need to go on birth. They were all just chirping in my ear. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. But then I was like, but then they were scaring me. Like, you really need to go on birth control. And I remember texting you and being like, if I had to go on birth control and I had to do one that was like more progesterone or more estrogen, and you had to pick one, what do you pick? And you wouldn't give me an answer. You're like, I'm just not for it. No, like, I'm sorry. I just won't support you going on birth control. I was like, just tell me one.
Like, if you had to. Yeah. If you had to, the copper IUD probably. But like, not like a hormonal birth control though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I didn't. I ended up not. I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. Yeah. You know? But I specifically remember, like, I was shopping around in Forever 21 trying to get some cute outfits for when I was going to go visit Dan. And yeah. And I was like, if I have to go on birth control, which one? And I was like, hoping that you would give me like one or the other. And you're like, no, I'm sorry. I'm just like, not for it. I was like,
well,
okay.
I think there's like, when I was on birth control for a short stint of 9 months when I was 21, because I was fucking terrified. I was like, I want the lowest hormone one. So I went on like, you know, like a low one thinking that that was going to do something.
Yeah.
And no.
Yeah.
It still sucked. So can't recommend it. Have you never been on birth control?
So I went on birth control in college for like 2 months. Okay. And then I went off. And that was it. That was like my only stint with birth control.
Well, thank God, because you've been on enough antibiotics. So like you don't need something else messing with your microbiome.
I know. I'm like, I have fucked up my body enough at least.
You don't need that. You don't need that.
Totally, for sure. But I'm so happy to talk to you about like about period stuff, because I always like joke with my friends. I'm like, I am a pull and pray girl. I really am. Like, I'm like, everyone thinks that I'm actually really like so strategic and like very like, you know, with every, all things health and a lot of things. Yes. But if there's one place that I'm really reckless, it is kind of like sex and my period and pulling and praying. And like the idea of just like even knowing when I'm like, I track my cycle, I'm regular, but this is like one of the main things I wanted to ask you, because I know there are other girls who are also pull and pray girls, because it's in my DMs, you know?
Yeah.
And so I know you're a huge advocate. This is my first question for you. I know you're a huge advocate of the FAM method, fertility awareness method. But let's say, okay, let's say a girl is like me, doesn't really know where she's at in her cycle, but wants to know like when she's ovulating, because that's obviously when you want to be really careful with sex. Like, yes. What are signs that you are ovulating?
Okay. So it's going to be different for everyone. And the thing that is tough, because there are certain markers, like for some people, they know, they can feel when they're ovulating. They can like feel a pinch. Like some people, their energy drops a little bit when they're ovulating. So there are like some markers like that for people that are really in tune. The problem with that is that means you're ovulating. The egg is dropping and sperm survives for up to 5 days. Yeah. So like if you've already had unprotected sex before that and then you're like, oh, I just ovulated, like it's kind of too late.
Okay.
So in the fertility awareness method, you're tracking your temperature, which is kind of like, I feel like that's like your thing that you're like, I just don't feel like doing it. I feel like that's like a barrier to entry for a lot of people. They're like, I have to take my temperature at the same time every single day.
Yes.
And there are like cool tools now, for instance, like what is the one that I really like? I've been using the Daisy forever. People that are staunch supporters, like staunch fertility awareness method, people are like, no, that's like not real. The real fertility awareness method, because it uses app word.
yeah.
What am I trying to say?
AI.
It's using some type of algorithm. There we go. Algorithm was the word. It's using an algorithm to help determine when your fertile window is. So like a lot of staunch supporters of FAM are not down with that. I think it's a really great like entry place to start for people to feel comfortable because it has the algorithm. You don't have to take your temperature at the same time every day. Which can be helpful. Like you just need to have slept for at least 3 hours. So that's like a really good entry point. But yeah, unfortunately, there's not
really
like –
So if you are ovulating, is your temperature a little bit higher?
So your temperature is going to drop and then it's going to go up.
Okay.
So like it has like a tiny little drop and then it goes up and your temperature should be elevated for like 3 days to confirm ovulation. And then it's going to start to like taper back down again.
Okay.
And that confirms ovulation. And the cool thing about that is like a lot of people may think that they're ovulating and they may not even be ovulating. And when we talk about periods in the hormonal cycle, we're thinking about like menstruation as being like the main event of it. And like our period does tell us a lot, like how much PMS we have. Like if we get acne before our period, what our blood looks like, the color, texture, et cetera, et cetera, how much we're producing tells us a lot about what's going on in our body. But ovulation is honestly like more important. That's like a huge, like it shows that you're vital, that you can actually carry another human. So it's actually like, I like to kind of like try to switch the thinking on it of like, when you're tracking, if you actually see that you're ovulating, that's a marker of health, which is cool because you may not be, especially for people that know that they do want to get pregnant someday.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a great thing because then like, let's say 5 years before you're ever planning on getting pregnant, you realize like, oh my gosh, like I actually don't ovulate. Then you can focus on that before you get to the point where you're trying and you're like, shit, why am I not getting pregnant? And then the other thing is cervical mucus helps you tell if you are ovulating. So that's actually like the main thing, like for your question, how you can tell if you're ovulating without like doing the temperature thing and all of that, your cervical fluid does change when you're ovulating.
Like you have more of it?
So it's going to be a different texture.
Okay.
There's actually a really cool device. Like I love FemTech right now because it's like blowing up and it makes it easier for us. Because some people may not produce a lot of fluid.
Yeah.
But there's like this device, it's called a keg tech, and you can actually like insert it in your vagina every morning and it'll tell you the pH of your vagina. So like if it's too acidic, it's going to kill the sperm. Like they're never going to get anywhere.
Okay.
So that's why our cervical mucus changes before and during ovulation, because it's like creating a hospitable environment for the sperm to be escorted. So whenever you're ovulating, you're having I feel like the thing that people always say is that it's going to be like a raw egg white texture. Okay. So kind of that like really like thin, stretchy, like stringy, you know, like a raw egg white.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's more like ovulation fluid. And at like when you're not ovulating, it's typically going to be like thinner. Like it might be drier, it might be sticky, it might be like a creamy white. Okay. Yeah. So you can tell a little bit in discharge, and like it just kind of – that's just another one that it depends, because some people might not be producing as much cervical mucus, where some people are like, oh, I have discharge every day. And I can 100% tell like a huge difference. Like, you know how I feel like this was going around on TikTok forever, like women being like, why are all of my underwear like turning white in the crotch? Like, what's going on with my, with my vagina? It's because our cervical mucus is typically acidic, except when we're ovulating.
Okay.
Interesting fact. So that's is like a way that
I don't
you can tell.
I don't wear underwear. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, interesting. Never experienced that. Maybe I should look
at
like
so funny.
My clothes and see if they're getting bleached in the vagina.
I know, right? That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that is a way that you can tell. The thing about cervical mucus, like, so it'll change like during that fertile window. So it will change. That's why like the best thing to do is track temperature as well as your cervical fluid, because temperature shows you that it happened. You're like, oh, I definitely ovulated. So you're not getting like that 5-day window in front. But with cervical mucus, your mucus, like the cervical mucus starts to change days before you ovulate, because it's trying to protect the sperm all the way until ovulation.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But cervical mucus doesn't mean that you ovulated. So like when we talk about the idea of like wanting to know if you ovulated just for health reasons, cervical mucus, like your mucus might change, but you might not actually ovulate. Like your body might be like, I'm trying to create a hospitable environment for the sperm, but then you might not actually drop an egg. Mm-hmm. So that's why like the combo of the two.
Okay.
And I know that's not the
point
answer
blank,
that you wanted.
Stop being lazy. Stop being lazy and start taking your temperature. Okay,
I know.
It.
I'm like,
thanks,
I feel
Claire, you confirmed what I guess I needed to hear. All right.
I feel like you've asked me this before. You're like, there's got to be an easy way, Blair. Come on, let's do a live on this.
I
and
know.
I'm like, oh, you're going to hate my answer.
No, I do hate your answer, but it's okay.
I know.
It's okay. It's
there's another
know, I needed to hear it. I needed to
yeah,
hear it.
Yeah. There is a cool thing that you can wear on your arm. It's called a temp drop. Uh-huh. And so then you're not taking your temperature every morning. You like wear it on your arm. And so it's like tracking your temperature the whole night.
Okay.
And so it's like a little more accurate. That's like I feel like that's like another like here we go.
No worries. Everyone, just so you know, Blair has the cutest dogs ever. And if they're going to bark, they're going to bark. It's just how it goes.
It's just how it is. She's been having diarrhea, so she's feeling, you know, extra sassy.
Poor thing. Okay. I want to tell you about my favorite product from MSW Nutrition. This is something that I use for a really long time. It's called Bliss. It's basically a serotonin and dopamine booster. It's sublingual. It's like this little powder. You put it under your tongue. It is so good for mood support. It's also great for the joints. It's also great for the liver. If you have an MTHFR gene mutation, it can be wonderful for that. I take this in times when I just have a little slump socially. I'll take it then. I'll take it if I have a cocktail. That's rare. But if I do, I'll take it then. It's wonderful. Try it out. My code is VioletFog. Let's move on to the second question. It's okay if she barks. Okay, second question. Yes. So how – okay, so we always talk about having the healthiest periods, right?
Yeah.
What – like in your – like if you just had to give a few tips to have the healthiest period, like let's say it's the week before your period, what are you doing to ensure you have the healthiest, most comfortable period of your life?
Best period. Okay, so that's the luteal phase. So I kind of break the luteal phase down into like two parts, because at the beginning of it, you might like have a lot of energy. So it's kind of like I'm just going to break it down into two parts. Okay. So the week before, like, you know, like a full week out, you could still have a lot of energy because your hormones are still pretty high from ovulation. So you could still be like, I have a lot of energy. I am going to go like do more like higher intensity workouts, like if that's your thing. Yeah. But definitely as you get closer to your period, so maybe like 4 or 5 days out, you usually are going to start noticing that your energy is going down. And so that's when I start to like kind of switch up the workouts and like social situations, like turn inward a little bit more. And again, it's kind of different for everyone. Like some people are way more exhausted on their period or way more exhausted before their period. That it could be like a couple of days of shift. Yeah. But for me, it is really, really important to like set strong boundaries that week.
Yeah.
And kind of like taper down workouts a little bit and just focus on more like strength training and not really like going to a cycling class.
Yeah, totally. For sure. Okay. What about food? Is there
food
anything
wise?
If you're like, I was you like, totally do this
I can
before.
Go in depth on so many things.
Yes.
Yeah. So definitely starting to prioritize eating more carbohydrates. Like you're going to be craving more carbohydrates for sure. You're going to be craving more sugars. And
yes,
so
I know I definitely
can,
do.
Yeah. So you can kind of combat those sugar cravings if you start to just increase your carbohydrate intake.
Okay.
When those
the
cravings start to come around. Yeah.
So you say give into it.
Yeah, give into it because then you're just going to be like craving sugar like crazy because your body's trying to make up for those carbs. And we do burn like 200 to 300 more calories per day the week before our period. So,
that's
you know,
so
just give into it. That's why you're more hungry.
Yes.
So I definitely think like roasted root veggies, like high fiber carbohydrates are really, really important to help curb cravings, but also – those when they're higher fiber, they're going to help us detox estrogen more efficiently, which is going to be like super, super great for not having as many PMS symptoms. So really, yeah, I think that's like my main thing. I feel like so many people, diet culture, hello, are like, no carbs, I'm not going to eat them. And it's like, you actually need more. Your body needs that energy.
Yes. That's so wild to me. Like I definitely notice right before my period, I just want to eat everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Eat so much more. And like, I feel like the joke is like always like on your period, you want to eat a lot. And I'd say day one, day two, maybe yes. You know, but like my whole period, no. It really is like that week leading up.
Yes.
That I just like want more food. That makes me so happy to hear that we burn more calories too. Like, it's just like, you know, it's almost like we were divinely created.
Yeah, it's like, hello. And it's sad to say, but like learning about your cycle and things like that are that little permission slip because we have been so inundated with like diet culture. Like we should just be listening to our bodies. Obviously, like, oh, I'm more hungry. Okay, great. I'm going to eat more food. But obviously, especially us like, you know, millennials, I feel like we got like –
The shit end of the stick. Growing
up
with Us Weekly and Star Magazine pointing out everyone's cellulite and dramatic weight loss. Ugh.
Yes.
At like such a like age where that we were just like a sponge soaking that in.
I know. I was like, look at these low cut jeans that these people are wearing and they're so skinny, but we're still going to be like, there's a little love handle there. Like so bad.
I know.
So I'd like do like to think of it as like little permission slips, even though I feel like we shouldn't need permission. It is. It's like good to know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Listen to your body. Totally. Okay. Yeah. Another thing I want to talk to you. And so I remember, do you remember when I came to Denver and I was like, can I film you on stories talking about working out on your period? Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was like one of my most viewed stories. Actually, I think I made like a reel out of it. Didn't I do something? I made like a full blown post.
I think he did.
I was like, this shit's fire. I'm posting it on my grid. It was so good.
Like,
I remember
people like this.
People loved it. They got so – it got like so many shares. I remember like people were just so interested in it. So like without me saying what it was, I had said to you, what do you think about working out on your period? And you said
– no. Don't do it. It's so funny. I'm glad you had like – it sounds like a positive response. People kind of get mad at me when I say that because you know, one of the things for like,
there was one girl that went after you. Remember that?
Yes.
You were sending me screenshots. You're like, this girl will not let up. She was so mad that you said, don't work out on your period.
People get pissed about it. And I'm like, yo, this is like your built-in rest time. Fucking take it. I'm like, I get like kind of pumped about it. That's, I totally try to rewire my thinking on periods. Cause you know, we're like, this sucks, but I can still do everything normally. Whereas I'm like, yay, my built-in rest. I'm going to like chill the fuck out. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to read my book. I might binge watch a TV show.
For sure.
But I'm definitely going to chill. And so I think rewiring the thinking on that is like really, really helpful. But yeah, I definitely don't recommend it.
And why?
My reason being, like, our body is working so hard, right? Like, we are shedding our fucking uterine lining. There's a lot going on. Like, we feel more tired when we're on our period because we're losing blood. And again, our body's just working really, really hard. So, and we're already like creating like slight inflammation from shedding the lining. So just, it doesn't really like intuitively make sense to me. And when you like, just like think about it, to add more inflammation while we like, inflammation is a good thing, right? That like when we exercise, we create inflammation, we create strength. But just adding on to that inflammation, I just don't think is like the best thing. And you're probably going to feel more drained from your workout.
Yeah, for
And again, it's like so individual. So for me, you know, it's like the couple days leading up to my period, I don't feel like doing as hard a workout. So I'm going to take it a lot slower. And then like day one, day two of my period, I'm probably not going to work out at all. But I might go on a walk because I think so many people are like, but exercise reduces cramps. And I'm like, it can, but it can also make them a lot worse.
Oh, so totally. Like
going on a walk is very different than going on a run. Yes. And when you go on a run, like, yeah, you're going to produce endorphins. So like maybe your cramps are going to go away for a minute, but then you're going to feel completely wiped. So as with everything, it's a bit nuanced and like, it's about how you feel. Yeah,
for sure. So are you like pretty much like, let's say Pilates class is working out or Pilates strength training. Is it like all 4-ish days of your period you're saying no, or is it mainly like day one and two?
For me, it's day one and day two, and it like totally depends. I'm definitely not doing like any intense cardio.
Yeah.
Days one through maybe even like 5 or 6. Like I'm like, nah, I'm good. Yeah, but there are some times when I actually start to feel a lot of energy around day 4 and like maybe I do want to do it. So it's definitely listening to your body. But like something I know you do Legree. It's you're doing Legree, right?
Yes, that's I love it.
Yeah. So like where I teach classes is used to be a Legree studio. So it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that is such a low impact workout.
Yes.
That something like that.
Like day 3, day 4 might be okay.
Day 3, day 4. Yeah.
Or leading up. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yoga.
Day 1 and 2, couch potato.
Day 1 and 2, like just chill. Let it be your built-in rest. Like that's all I just want to say is like, especially if you're someone that likes to be active, which hopefully like you guys being active is important. But it's really good to take rest days. And as someone who like used to be probably like a little addicted to exercise and likes to be active, I really like love to be like, this is my built-in rest. My body is really, really smart. And like,
yes,
this is my built-in rest time. I am more tired right now, but that means I get to like chill for a little bit.
Totally. If you haven't tried a potion yet, what are you waiting for? Violet Bog Potions is an adaptogenic latte, no caffeine, that is a great ritual to have every single day. Now, we have two blends for you. One is the stress/stamina blend. That is like a healthy hot chocolate. It has things in it that are super good for stress, of course, circulation, brain health, mood support. That one, a lot of people love it as a caffeine replacement. Sometimes they'll even use it to wind down in the evening, or they'll use it as that afternoon pick-me-up. The other blend that we have is the Focus Blend. That's like a lemon ginger, kind of grassy undertone flavor. That one is really good for people who have shiny objects everywhere. They have a hard time focusing. They need more brain support. It's also wonderful for circulation. I love that one in the afternoon, especially when I need just a good 3 hours of brain power. If you want to check it out, use code MYFIRSTPOTION. One thing I learned that I thought you would find so interesting, I couldn't wait to tell you this. So there's this girl I know, her name's Nisha. She's a medical doctor, an Ayurveda specialist, and she was talking about breath work, and she was saying during her period, she does not do breath work. And so like she was like, yeah, you know, during her period, like, because it's supposed to be a downwind thing, your period.
Yeah.
But breath work is an upwind thing. And so she was like, that's one thing I will not do is breath work on my period. I was like, that's so interesting.
It kind of like also makes sense to me in the sense of like creating kind of like that fire in the belly. Like sometimes when you do breath work too.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to like create more fire in that
right.
area.
No, definitely not.
Here it is.
Okay.
Fiona's here.
Aw. We love Fiona.
Rosie's excited.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my next question, sex on your period. Yes or no?
I'm a hell yeah on that.
I knew you would be.
Yeah, you could have assumed. But it's interesting. So when I was in my nutrition program, like, so long ago now, we had a teacher who was like very against sex on the period because she said like the energy of it, again, like kind of like what you were saying with breath work, like you're pushing something up inside of you.
That's
so
true.
She's like, intuitively, it doesn't make sense. And I do get some people communicating that because I like to do videos on how orgasms are like really great for relieving pain, really great for cramps. So sometimes I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't have to be penetrative sex. Like there are other things you can do. There she is.
Hey, Fiona.
Katie says hi. Doesn't have to be penetrative sex to have an orgasm, to be having fun with your partner. Like there are things you can do that aren't penetrative, but if you're down, like, why not?
Yeah, for sure.
Why not?
So
I also have this weird primal thing about it. I was talking to some ladies the other day, and they were like, there's this cool flex cup, which maybe you've heard of, that you can use, and it's like you can have mess-free period sex with it. And I'm like, I want it to be messy. It's like this primal thing for me. It's kind of hot. I'm like, I want to like smack the blood on Michael.
That's hilarious. That is
I tell
so
him this
funny.
All the time and he's like, okay, all right.
He loved it. That man is so lucky to be with you for real. That's so funny. So I'm like, no, the first couple days.
Yeah.
Only because I have like, you know, a bit of an ick. And if I am PMSing, like the last thing I want to do is have sex, you know.
Totally.
I'm like okay with it, like towards the end. And if it and I'm not anti day like 1 and 2, you know, it's just that it's rare that I'm in the mood.
Yeah, which is totally reasonable. Your hormones just went down the cliff. So like a lot of people aren't going to be interested. I will say an interesting thing.
I'm sitting there free bleeding with sweat, my like oldest sweatpants on.
The
you
free bleeding
know,
is
greasy hair and a baggy t-shirt. Like, do not touch me. Leave me alone.
That's where I was a few days ago, and Fiona and I have been calling it the luteal crust.
Hilarious.
It's like when you're just like, you're like, I'm gonna be disgusting. I want to be. You're like,
so
I'm gonna
funny.
Bleed, free bleed. My hair is gonna be greasy. It's great.
Yes.
So totally. One thing that's interesting when I was first learning about cycles and like how our hormones are moving throughout our cycle. I could always tell when I was about to start my period because I would get extremely horny.
Yeah.
Like right before I started it.
That's
and
so
I would be like, I'd always be like, I might start my period. Let's go. Who knows if we're going to pound it out? Not sure.
Yeah.
And when you learn about like how your hormones are cycling, I bet Fiona doesn't know she's on film.
Yeah, that's funny.
Your testosterone spikes like a tiny bit right before you're on your period.
Yeah.
And so testosterone makes us a little bit more horny. So
I actually did not know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's why some people, like, right when they start their period, they may have like a push of being like, and then it might go away. Because again, your hormones are, they've just tanked. So a lot of times we're not into it. But I am always into it, like right when I'm starting. It's like I'm going to start in the next hour or two and I want to get smashed right now.
Oh my God. Michael is the most, is the happiest, great. Like, he's so lucky, that man. He is so, so lucky. Okay.
Oh, that's so funny. He would beg to differ at times.
No, he's obsessed, I bet. Okay. Next question. What brands, like this one, like I really did want to ask you because I know you get inundated with brands, like period brands. Like, yeah, there's no way. Like, how do you not? And there's so many period things, brands on the market. Tampons, pads, Diva cups, period underwear, elixirs. You know what I mean? Like, there's so, like, there's a huge market now for period stuff.
Yeah, huge.
So, and it's, like, why I wanted to pick your brain is because I know you've tried so many of them. So,
yeah,
like,
I get sent them, so I try them.
Yeah. And so, what, are there, like, certain period brands, products, whatever they are, it could be anything that you're like, yeah, this is super freaking legit. I'm all about it. Like, what are your favorites?
Yes. Okay. So I have two things that I really like. So I love period panties and menstrual cups. They're environmentally friendly. You're saving money.
Yes.
They help with cramps a ton. Like a lot of people will switch to like a menstrual cup and their cramps will go away. And they're like, what the hell? Like this one thing. Because it kind of is almost the sensation of free bleeding because the blood's not being like sucked,
you know, like
a tampon. But you still have something up there. So like for me, I love using period panties on like the first day of my period. Yes. I notice like cramps are done.
Period panties are the freaking best thing in the entire world.
They're the best. And this is what I like to do in my luteal crust, my late luteal crust, because – it's really menstruation, but you know, I just like to wear my panties with a big t-shirt, like huge t-shirt and nothing else, and just walk around the house with my like underwear jacked up and just That's be like, hilarious. Yeah, these are my period panties. One time, it's so funny. I don't like feel like I talk about Michael that much, but one time I was like wearing my period panties. I, ooh, those are like sexy because I never wear underwear. So I feel like it was just like something new.
Yeah,
and I was like,
for him.
These are my period panties. And he was like, God damn it. Like, really?
That's so funny.
He was
so
like, why do you have
funny.
To tell me that?
Do you have a brand
yes.
that you like? A
yes.
period
I've
underwear?
Got two favorites. So for the period underwear, I really like Joyja. Thinx is like, I feel like the most popular brand.
Yes.
I feel like they've like marketed kind of like the first ones. And they're fine. I like Thinx. Some of their newer products are definitely better than their original ones.
Uh-huh.
But Joyja, Joyja.
I've never heard of them.
I just happen to be obsessed with theirs. They have higher waisted ones that are actually super high waisted and like not tight on the waist.
That's nice.
And I don't like want to talk down on any brand, but like I've had some that like are high waisted, but they're not like they're below my belly button. Or and then they're kind of like tight in the waist
or something, no one wants that.
Around the legs. I'm like, who the fuck wants something tight on? Like, why are these not made like huge? I'm like, I shouldn't have to buy like two sizes up for them to feel like
comfy.
Loose.
Yeah, totally.
So Joyja, I really like their high waisted ones. They have like a nice stretch. They're thinner at the top, so they like use a thicker fabric. For the blood, obviously, but then like the rest is pretty thin. So those are really comfortable. And then my personal favorite menstrual cup, and I have tried so many, is for Viv. And I feel like no one's heard of that one, but it has a little loop on the bottom, like this little tiny circle. So a lot of them have a stem and you're like trying to grab the stem to pull it out.
It's like slippery.
Yes, this one has a loop, so you can like hook your finger and pull it out. And that is just – it's so much easier. It's also black, so like you're not like, this is looking crusty and changing colors. That one's my favorite. There's a really cool website called Put a Cup in It, and you take a quiz and it tells you like, hey, this actually would probably be the best period cup for your body. I really like that quiz. I send their people there if they've like never tried a menstrual cup.
Yeah.
But the one that I got in that quiz, I tried. I didn't love it. V's for Viv is my favorite. So like, you know, maybe just try V's for Viv.
V's for Viv. Okay, I think cool. The so Flex Joyja brand, and V's for Viv.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Flex also has a cup that has a little pulley guy on the bottom too. I just haven't tried it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So takeaway, if you're going to do a cup, try and find one with the hook and not the stem.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be way more user friendly. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the week after your period.
Okay.
So like, what is that week known for? You just stopped bleeding. What's that week going to be like?
So this is your follicular phase. That is like, again, so like our luteal and follicular phases are kind of somewhat broken into those two phases because menstrual is like the lowest your hormones are. Ovulation is the highest. So those two in between are kind of like that ebb. But your follicular phase is like all about creativity. So your hormones are starting to go up. So you might feel like still a little tired at the beginning, but then they start to rise and your energy is picking up. You're feeling really creative.
Yes.
It's like a great time for like brainstorming, like new project ideas. And just like, you know, I love making lists. I'm a list girl. So that's like a good time to like make your list and like brainstorm things that you want to do. And like, what you're trying to cultivate in your life. It's just a really good time to do that. So like some applicable ways aside from like work and things like that, like with sex, that's a great time to try new things. So like maybe you're trying a new position or a new toy or going to a new location. You're just, your brain is like, I want new things and I like want to like have like more creativity, which – you know, that's kind of fun, like
to try out a new style.
To try out a new style, yeah.
That comes to my mind.
You're like, new clothes.
Yes.
And then also, if you what was I going to say?
Talking about.
What was I going to say? Oh, I don't know. I know what I was going to say. Like for workouts, like it's a good time to try like a new workout class or something too, because you're just like feeling a little bit more like creative, and because your energy is going up, like you're able to like try new things without getting irritated. Like no one really wants to do a ton of new things when you're in your late luteal crusty phase.
Yeah.
Cause you might get irritated.
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Is there anything nutrition wise we should be focusing on like right after our period?
I like to think of it as like a building phase, because, you know, on your period, you lost a lot of blood. And for your period, you're like really trying to focus on like easier to digest food, really warming, grounding foods, like more cooked foods. And like in follicular, you can start adding in like more raw foods or just like really, really mineral dense foods, and like fresh food is going to be like really good. I was eating oysters the other day, like my little smoked oysters, because I was like, all the goodies in here, like this is such a building food. It's just, you know, like overall like a building time. So like remineralizing, like I love eating beets, recommending beets, actually in all phases of the cycle for women, but you know, you just lost blood. So like maybe adding in like red meat, if that works for you, organ meats,
totally,
really like nutrient dense foods.
By the way, don't you like the stress and stamina blend during your period? Is that what you told me?
Yeah. I like during my luteal phase, especially like I'm not a caffeine gal anyways. Like I can't really handle coffee. I love when I drink it because I feel like I've literally done drugs. I'm like, I don't know what cocaine's like, but surely this is it.
That's so funny.
And it's like I can have like the tiniest amount of coffee like with a ton of medicinal mushrooms in it. Actually, I put the stress blend in my coffee when I have it.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I need this. But I'll do like matcha. Like I can handle green tea caffeine.
Yes.
In my luteal phase, like for those of you that don't know, you don't really want to do as much caffeine like late luteal phase and on menstruation. It can make your PMS symptoms worse, make your period not as great. So I switched to that because it's just like so warm and cozy and it makes you feel so good.
So good. I know. I love that blend. I've been sipping on Focus Blend though right now. And I've been like having the best conversation with you. Just, I feel like zippy.
You feel it. You feel it.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also, took my Bliss this morning and I was like, I should be taking this right before we meet.
Isn't that before such we an do amazing this podcast? Product?
Yeah. I'm like, these two products are like the zippy products.
When MSW Nutrition came out with Bliss, I feel like it like fell out of the sky as this gift. You know, it's like such an incredible product.
And it's like fun to take too. You put it under your tongue and you're like,
I know. My serotonin surges.
Like immediately. Immediately.
That's so funny. Okay. Last question. So I wanted to ask you, so I know that you're all about fam instead of birth control, and I am too, 100,000%. Is there anyone that you think would benefit from birth control? Like, say someone with like endometriosis, or like, is there anyone that you're like, you are the exception?
Yeah, when I saw this question, I really, really liked that you were asking it, because obviously I'm like known for kind of shitting on birth control a little bit.
Yeah.
And I even had a friend be like, I think you're like offending some people because they feel like you're attacking them. And I'm like, I don't know who's on birth control and who's not on birth control. I'm not attacking anyone. Like,
right.
That's on them for like feeling it's at them, because it's certainly not.
Yeah.
But I do like always want people to understand that I am just pro-informed choice with birth control. So for me, it's like understanding that you have a choice outside of that. Because for me, when I was 21 and like felt like I had to take birth control, I felt like there was no other option besides condoms, and I didn't even trust condoms.
Yeah.
I was like scared they were going to break. And so I took birth control and didn't realize that like I actually could learn about my body and be more deeply connected to my body and avoid pregnancy if that's what I was wanting. So I'm very, very pro-informed choice. You know, and if that's still the choice that you want to make, then go for it. Like if somebody's like, I just don't have the time for that. And like, or they're like 15 and they're just like, don't feel like they are responsible enough. And they're like, but I'm going to be sexually active. Then like, you know, like maybe that's the choice that you make.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, like I think anybody, even if you don't have an underlying condition, like it can be the right choice for you.
Yeah.
And just like making that informed choice and being really confident in it is really important to me. And I'm going to like respect people all the way if they choose that. I mean, like, hell yeah, that's what's right for your body.
Totally.
And like for your whatever it is that you're going through. Yeah. And as far as endometriosis, like obviously one of the reasons I don't like birth control is because sometimes it's like hiding symptoms that, and then people don't realize until they're like trying to get pregnant, or they're like, oh, I guess it's just like time to come off birth control. And then they realize they have this underlying condition that they've had for like 10, 15 years, because people go on birth control very young.
Right.
And they were totally unaware.
Yeah.
But that being said, if you have endometriosis and you are dealing with like extreme pain on the daily, and I like feel for those people so intensely, and let's say you've worked with like functional medicine doctors, acupuncturists, all these people, and like it's just not cutting it, like your quality of life.
Then you need to, you should consider it.
Quality of life is so much more important than like not having to take a medicine. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Don't make yourself miserable just because you feel like you shouldn't take it. Like there are like, that's a huge benefit for somebody that has endometriosis to like have something that they are able to take that's going to improve their quality of life.
Yes.
Again, like I would want you to find the root cause and like try to get to the bottom of it, but it's still not worth it to like be living in severe pain constantly, or like for 3 weeks out of the month, or like, you know, depending on the person, what their symptoms are.
Yes.
And some people can't afford to go to a functional medicine doctor and like get to the bottom of it, because our healthcare system, So like someone like that who's like, I just like truly don't have like the income for this right now. Like I don't have the budget to like get to the root cause of this, but I can't live like this and I need to be able to go to work and function as a human. Like again, birth control is a great thing that they like have access to.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's such a great answer. Yeah. That's such a great answer.
I was like, I'm so glad she's asking this because I feel like people sometimes, and like we even started it, like I was like, no, Katie, don't do it. But like, I know you. And I was like, I know you don't want to.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to take it, but like,
yes.
It is.
I mean, that was just, years ago. And it was just, totally. You know, it was a vulnerable moment. I was listening to the chirps in my ear, you know, and I was getting freaked out. And then finally I was like, fuck this. I know what to do. Bye.
And look at Dan. I guess he's just like really good at pulling out. So it's fine. Like we got to give Dan some props, you know, because the pull out method when done like perfectly is 98% effective. So it's like pretty effective.
Oh yeah.
It's
he knows he better not fuck that up. I would be so livid.
Yeah.
I'd be so mad.
So
totally.
It's only 78% effective when how people normally use it. So that's when you're like, ooh, that's not effective. But hey, if Dan's pullout game is strong.
Yes. But I'm gonna start tracking my temperature. I am. We'll talk after.
Yeah. And you like having information on your body. So like I'm ovulating. Or like, oh shit, I didn't ovulate this month. I think, you know,
I do love data.
Love that information. Yeah.
I do love data. Okay. That was, you know, that's what I needed to hear. You know, you told me what I needed to hear. Okay. Got it. Well, Blair, you are so awesome. I love your TikToks. I love your Insta. I freaking love your book. Obviously, in the intro, I like mentioned all of this. But where, like, if someone wants to talk to you right now, like, what is the best place to reach you?
Yeah, probably Instagram. I don't really understand TikTok DMs. Do people do that over there?
No,
I don't really get it.
I don't get it either. I don't get TikTok.
Like, I don't fully understand it. But yes, if you want to hang out, like, I hang out more on Instagram.
Yes.
Answer DMs and stuff. Like, I kind of go over to TikTok and get overwhelmed and just like post my video and run.
Yes.
So mostly on Instagram, that's like definitely the best way to reach out. Emails are fine, but I don't know. Then I can't like see your face. For whatever reason, like an email feels so formal. DMs kind of feel more like you're texting.
Yes, I love DMs. And everyone should go get Blair's book. It's so good. If you love just like girl talk with periods and you want someone to girl-splain periods, that's the book for you, Goddess Guy. Thank you so much, Blair.
Thank you.
And give your dog some love for me. They're so cute. And tell them I'm not mad at them at all for barking. They're the cutest dogs ever.
I knew they were going to.
I know.
Y'all are crazy.
It's just like that's real life. You know what I mean? That's just real life. All right. Love you, girl.
Love you.
Talk to you soon. Bye.